The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Well, coming off that conversation with Dr. Martin Nolan, we've talked about kind of the general sweep of the land. If you were to survey the horizon of confessional Lutheranism, what would you see on the horizon there by way of threats to confessional Lutheranism? We spoke largely about the American context. What about worldwide Lutheranism? Is there a shift? Is there I hesitate to use the word movement, because movements are not necessarily good things. In fact, in the church, they largely are not good things. Is there a direction to Lutheranism today? Where is it found? What's going on? What are the major issues facing confessional Lutheranism today? Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is with us for the first half hour of this hour, and then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the week. We have four soundbites to play for you, and we will play them, and all you have to do is listen and vote. Give us a call, email, send us a tweet, or go to our Facebook fan page, and I'll tell you how a little bit later to vote for Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, and it's your chance to win the LPR bundle package. And I have Issues T-shirt and Issues Etc. travel mug, pen, bumper sticker, notepad, and mouse pad. The LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote when we play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week in about a half hour. Pastor Matt Harrison is a regular guest. He's president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Matt, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Hi, Todd. How you doing?
I'm doing well. How would you describe the movement, the landscape of worldwide Lutheranism in 2013?
Well, I've often described it as a tectonic shift that's going on, the likes of which we've never seen in our lifetime, and that is largely because the ELCA has sort of fallen off the cliff relative to the teaching of the Bible on sexuality, and in doing so, it's simply working hand in glove and following the historical critical approach to the Bible, which has been long endemic in European, formerly state church Lutheranism. So making final and official its positions, that has terribly offended Christians, many in the North, but also largely in the global South. And so you've had huge movement. Most significantly recently, you've got Makane Jesus, which is 6.2 million Lutherans, historically deeply connected with ELCA and its predecessor bodies, which has summarily broken communion, literally, with the ELCA, and sought out a relationship with the Missouri Synod. You have a similar thing happening in Madagascar. Madagascar has about 20 districts. It's got 4 million, maybe 4.5 million Lutherans. The bishops there, they don't ordain women. They've got a confession very similar to the Missouri Synod, and they have voted to seek out fellowship with the Missouri Synod now, too. And there are probably a dozen other smaller Lutheran churches across Africa who are in this same boat. That sentiment is shared also in Indonesia and other places in Asia, probably with some less intensity, but it's certainly there, and there's been a growing sense of the loss by LWF churches in the Southern Hemisphere, the loss of creedal substance in the North, and even among their churches, as they've been influenced by Northern seminaries. So it's a huge moment.
If one of those Southern Hemisphere Lutheran church bodies, one of the African bodies, if you mentioned the ordination of women, if they are currently practicing the ordination of women and they're seeking fellowship with the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, what should be done there?
Well, Makani Jesus has, I think, a couple of dozen female pastors. In many cases, what has happened around the world is, like in India, for instance, the Lutheran World Federation, or the ELCA, said, you know, we'll give you money contingent upon you ordaining women. And, of course, female pastors are in many cases unacceptable theologically and culturally to these people. And so what they'll do is they'll put some women in administrative positions, ordain them, put them in administrative positions. With Makani Jesus, there's definitely a shift away from women's ordination going on within the church. They asked us to help them to organize a legitimate PhD at their graduate seminary in Addis Ababa. They have six regional seminaries. We thought we would simply be derelict if we did not offer to help them. And I believe our influence there will be very positive as we move forward.
So in the instance of that large church body, do you see them through that kind of beneficial influence that the Missouri Synod can exercise with them? Do you see them eventually moving entirely back to a biblical position on an all-male pastorate?
I believe they will.
Let's talk a little bit about a church body you mentioned just a few minutes ago, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. The National Council of Churches reports that church body, once the largest Lutheran church body, still the largest Lutheran church body in the U.S., nonetheless has suffered the sharpest rate of membership decline among all Protestant denominations in the United States. How do you explain that?
Well, it's very easy to explain. You know, you have many pious people who just believe the Bible. The church has fallen under the influence through all kinds of things. Many have argued that the most radical of the Karl Broughton and others have argued that the radical gospel reductionists who left our seminary in the 70s were the great leaders of the new gospel reductionism in the ELCA, that is to somehow say that the gospel frees us from any kind of position, traditional position on sexuality, or radically frees us from the law, or even frees us from, you know, whether our body tells us we're male or female. So that certainly is part of the puzzle. You have the acceptance of historical criticism, which is a free-for-all. Everybody is free to either confess or deny what they want about what the Bible teaches. There's been the death of systematic theology across the board and the loss of traditional Lutheran categories in theology. So, you know, it's a huge tragedy. These people who grew up studying Michael Roy's catechism, for instance, or had in the old ALC, they had pastors who still believed in the inerrancy of the Bible. That's all passing. And a lot of folks have voted with their feet and pocketbook when the ELCA took its rather bold move.
How would you describe the relationship between the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod and the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, especially with respect to a resolution that passed, well, going on 10 years ago, I believe, from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, saying that the ELCA is no longer an Orthodox Lutheran church?
Well, look, the Missouri Synod has all kinds of warts and problems and difficulties, and a lot of our laundry is flashed in front of people. A lot of times our dirty laundry, so we're nothing but damn sinners. The public confession of the ELCA is heterodox. They're in full communion with the UCC, Presbyterian Church USA, the Reformed Church in America, the United Methodists. That's a direct violation of the Lutheran confessions and the Bible. Formula of Concord have all been rejected. They are a classic union church in many respects. So they tolerate the most radical criticism of the Scriptures, deny its inerrancy, allow God to be called Mother, etc., etc., etc. That's not orthodoxy, that's heterodoxy. And it's one thing for a church to have an Orthodox confession and then to fall away from it from time to time, maybe strive more or less, but striving to hold to the confession is quite another thing to adopt a heterodox confession. when you enshrine that heterodoxy in a constitution and a confession, as Sasse says, that makes the return to truth all but impossible.
Let's talk about some issues within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and some of them will be faced or addressed in the upcoming triennial convention coming up a little bit later this month that you will chair. Matt, one of the things that we've heard in about the last decade, and it proved to be false, was that there was a shortage of pastors in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Mm-hmm. As it turns out, after kind of closer examination, a little more honesty, so to speak, on the parts of everybody involved, there's actually a group of pastors that fall under a kind of vague classification of candidates for reverend ministry. And upward of 200 by some accounts across the entire church body, some of whom have been languishing in that limbo, so to speak, for months or even years. What's the problem here and what can be done about it?
Well, there's several things going on, and it's a very challenging circumstance. There's several possibilities, and all of them may exist at the same time, or just one piece of it of this may exist. A guy may come out with his family, having been taught at the seminary what is right and wrong, goes to a congregation, perhaps that is communing everybody, and does not practice the church's official position on closed communion, and he makes a change or fights a battle over that and gets on the wrong side of the wrong family or who knows what, and things snowball until he is actually removed by the congregation. Could be a district president has failed to go into that congregation prior to his arrival and say, this is the position of the Missouri Synod. If you're going to be part of the Missouri Synod, this is your position, and help them expect what's coming. It may be also the case that a pastor has modest relational skills or poor skills, but even modest skills in today's world, it's really difficult. I mean, when you face maybe a series one or a series of difficult issues, maybe you have a family that leaves the church over something, it can really snowball out of control, and you can end up having a very difficult time in a parish. That happens in a lot of cases. So it's a real issue. How do you resolve these cases? I think the seminaries, I think, are doing a very strong job and a much better job than they used to do in preparing guys for challenging circumstances. I think we'll continue to see district presidents doing a better job, although some people have questioned that, but I believe we're going to be doing a better job of that in the future. So, and then finally, we have to do a better job of taking care of these guys who fall out the boat, especially their families who, because the church, they perceive the church has violated a trust or dealt with their dear father negatively, that has a huge effect on their own faith life. So somehow we have to care for these people. I've suggested, and I think I probably will push this again, that certain parishes be set up across the country where we have strong men who are good mentors, but allow calls to be made with little or no salary, where guys who have fallen out the ship are called, and for little or nothing, while they're also making money on the side doing something, they have a call and they're also participating in the ministry of a local congregation. I think that might be a way to continue to use the gifts of some of these guys, but also as a platform maybe for return to full-time ministry for some of them. We're going to have to, in any case, we're going to have to point a task force of some sort to take a look at the matter and try to come up with some kind of solutions. Not an easy issue.
Well, that's not what my next question lies exactly there. Do we need to go beyond a task force? Do we need to talk to the district presidents of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? And guys, it's time to make some decisions about these men. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. We'll be right back.
Does your church need a full-time or backup organist? The Virtual Organist Service from Church Music Solutions is genuine organ leadership using your instrument with your specific selections when you need it. You can try it out for free with our demo unit, which allows you and your members to hear and see the virtual organist without obligation and without a sales pitch. For more details, go to churchmusicsolutions.com.
Have you wondered what classical Lutheran education is all about? Are you a Lutheran homeschooler? Would you like to learn more about teaching students the essentials of biblical interpretation, law and gospel, or worldviews from a Lutheran perspective? Come join the Consortium for Classical and Lutheran Education July 16th through the 18th at Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. For more information, visit ccle.org. That's ccle.org.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
The 500th anniversary of the Lutheran Reformation is fast approaching. We have such a rich history as Lutherans, and many people don't realize that. The CLCC offers a seminar called Your Reformation Walk that teaches that rich heritage and helps you appreciate it. The CLCC also offers other seminars designed to help laity learn to appreciate what Lutherans believe, teach, and confess. So invite us to your church. Visit theclcc.org and get details on scheduling a seminar for your church today.
The Lord has gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation. These gifts can be received every week at both Grace Lutheran Church and Trinity Lutheran Church in Wichita, Kansas. Join us for divine services at Grace on Sundays at 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m., as well as every Wednesday at 11 a.m., or at Trinity every Sunday at 11 a.m. Grace is located at 3310 East Pawnee and Trinity at 611 South Erie. Gather with us around our Lord and His giving His gifts to us. See you soon.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, is our guest. We're talking about issues facing worldwide confessional Lutheranism, and in particular, some that are facing the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, and soon. Matt, before the break, you talked about the need for a task force to deal with the issue of men who are languishing for months or even years in that limbo of a candidate for Reverend Ministry, CRM. Does this convention coming up need to go beyond what even the floor committees have recommended about this issue and say to the district presidents, who in my opinion have in some ways helped create this problem, look, you guys need to make some difficult decisions about these men. Are they fit for the ministry or not? And if they are not fit for the ministry and cannot be made fit for the ministry, then they need to be removed from the pastorate altogether. And if they are fit for the ministry, they need to be returned to congregations via our call process.
Oh, I think that's a real issue. I think in the church, when someone does not have the gifts to carry something out, and I'm by no means painting a broad brush over all these men, but if someone doesn't have the gifts, we are very slow to inform people of that and allow them to think in terms of a different career option, nor are we assisting them in a different career option. One thing we might be able to do is offer some kind of service here at the International Center where we help guys transition into different careers. That's a possibility. By the way, there's been a lot of rumors around that, you know, nothing is done for these men, and it was under LCMS World Relief and Human Care that we set up the Soldiers of the Cross Fund and sent Carlos Hernandez after and alerted him to these situations. And we have helped dozens and dozens and dozens of families through LCMS World Relief.
What about dealing with congregations, and you described the situations there earlier, the other end of the formula, so to speak, dealing with congregations where it can be demonstrated that they have wrongly and in some sense really illegally, not in a civil sense, but in a church law sense, removed their pastor?
Well, obviously they need to be brought to account. Here we have a very significant resolution coming for Synod on visitation. The whole office of episcopos, from where we get the term bishop or overseer, is quite often translated. Every pastor is a bishop, according to St. Paul, an overseer. By divine right, by human right, we have circuit counselors, we have district presidents, we have synod presidents who are overseers in our system of governance. And that oversight doesn't merely mean sitting on high and looking down at folks and telling them to do stuff. It's visitation. Luther develops his whole doctrine of church governance out of Acts 15, where Paul says to Barnabas, let's go back and episkepsis, that's the verbal form of episcope, let's go back and visit all those churches we started on our first journey. And so visitation is really significant, and the kind of visitation that analyzes a congregation, admonishes, just like St. Paul, accuses, admonishes, brings to repentance, brings about reconciliation, and then moves forward.
Another issue dealing with the pastoral ministry for about 20 years, the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod, in my opinion, has been trying to correct a mistake that never should have taken in the first place regarding the pastoral ministry. We've been experimenting, I think it's safe to say, with how we train our pastors and what we call them once they're trained and ordained, the specific ministry or specific pastor categorization that we have now may lack in many other respects, but I wonder what you think about the fact that it has arguably created a two-tier pastorate in the Missouri Synod. Should these men who have specific ministry be regarded as full, complete, called and ordained pastors, just like the full course guys, like you, like me?
Mm-hmm. Well, there are certain Iure Humana restrictions on their areas of service. And I think you could argue on the basis of the confessions that there are grades of the office. Take a look at Chemnitz Examen, for instance, where he admits that there are, in fact, grades of the office, which are Iure Humano, created by men, not divinely so. So I have ecclesiastical oversight over the district president, for instance. That is not by divine right. It's Iure Humano. So there are different grades possible in the office. Some people would argue about that vociferously. I think the question is, do we need an option to serve certain specific situations? I believe we do. And there are legitimate circumstances, small, remote, ethnic, other things that are legitimate. What I think is problematic is where most of these SMP pastors are going, and that is to be staff pastors at large congregations. I think as many as probably 70-75%, if I'm not mistaken. And that aspect, though it was there at the original adoption, it was not understood to be the dominant purpose for the SMP program. It was to help in small and isolated situations.
On another subject, does the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod also have some untied strings, loose strings, with respect to how it is finally answered what's been a settled question in the church for millennia, the role of women in the church?
I think it is a settled question that it is not given to women to teach or exercise the functions of the pastoral office. That is absolutely clear. There is also an order of creation which must be respected. And that order of creation means that men in the Christian home are to be in a position of leadership. A sanctified wife will often, and many times, be a better Christian than her husband. And as I often say, you know, my wife kicks me in the rear when I need it, and she's about the only person that can do so when I'm not living up to my responsibilities as father or husband, etc. That relationship of the home is not precisely scripted for everybody. It's carried out differently among different people, but there's responsibility. So I think whether women are doing this specific task or that one has to be viewed in light of the broader principles that women are not to carry out the distinctive functions of the office, and the orders of creation are to be respected.
On the issue of church discipline, I mean, just to be quite frank, I think when you were elected 3 years ago, signaling, I think, a change in the direction of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, a significant one, many people either hoped or feared, depending on their perspective, that you would kind of spearhead a move of church discipline, house cleaning across the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Mm-hmm.
And now many are either hopeful or fearful that that isn't going to happen. What are your thoughts there, Matt?
Well, my thought is, before I came to office, I think I told people what I would do. I simply said I would be faithful and that it would take the Missouri Synod. The disruption and division of the Missouri Synod began essentially with a statement of the 44, unresolved, but it certainly began earlier than that. And you have pastors. We have older pastors in the Missouri Synod who simply were never, for instance, on the issue of communion practice, they were never taught the church's official position. In fact, they were taught quite something else in the seminary. You had in the St. Louis Seminary before the walkout, and I've seen documents, you had students being taught essentially the Calvinist position that the mode of presence is not the issue, or it's not the presence of Christ in the sacrament, it's the mode of the presence in Christ the sacrament that's the issue, and that's really not a big enough issue to divide churches. That's classic Calvinism, or Calvinistic Lutheranism. And so, you know, we have gone through tremendous internal upheaval. Just when we were coming out of the upheaval of the 70s, and Dr. Bowman, by the way, in 83 was elected with, 78%, miraculously. Just as that was happening, 84, 85, we got hit with the whole church growth movement, Fuller movement, Wagner, and all those church growth issues, which immediately polarized us on the issues of worship. So it's a challenge. It's a real challenge we face to be faithful to our fundamental principles, our confessional principles. I'm a pastor. I deal with issues pastorally. I deal with issues constantly. I deal with issues carefully, but persistently. And I'm not a bull in a china shop, but I'm going to be faithful. You can count on that. Most people that complain about this issue probably have never been in a leadership position which is extremely complex, or they are unaware, in fact, of the accountability that is going on constantly, and that is certainly the case. And it could be the case that I'm well due some criticism from time to time, so we'll take that.
Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest. When we come back a few more minutes with him, talking about worldwide Lutheranism, issues facing the Lutheran Church of Missouri Synod. When we come back, his thoughts on the recent Supreme Court decisions on same-sex marriage. He's been rather vocal in the public square, even in official capacity at congressional hearings, talking about other social issues like the HHS mandate and defending natural marriage. We'll see what he thinks about the Supreme Court's decisions right after this. And then we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week, give away the LPR bundle package to the listener with the best vote. That's coming up in just about 5 minutes on Issues Etc.
Historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history.
Pro-life leader Dr. Lawrence White on why you should support Issues Etc.
Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement, in the extension of the kingdom of God, the proclamation of the Lord Jesus Christ, the demonstration that our Lord Jesus is not irrelevant to what's going on in the culture, that our historic biblical Lutheran theology is more urgently needed at this moment than at any other moment in history, and Issues Etc. is in the forefront of that movement.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a tax-deductible gift today. Donate online at issuesetc.org, or you can donate by check. Make your check payable to Issues Etc., Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Defending life from beginning to end. Issues Etc. Thanks for your support. Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc. Christological.
My friends, Jesus comes only for sinners.
Historical.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by...
Sacramental.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
To find a Christological, historical, and sacramental church near you, go to issuesetc.org and click Find a Church.
This is he who fears in all time. you want a new life, there's something you have to do. God promised He will give you beauty for those ashes. But you have to do your part.
The experience isn't going to save. What's going to save is that word of forgiveness, that Christ died even for you in your lowest point.
That group of people is unrepresentative in the sense that they are far more likely than average to be dependent on the use of contraception and abortion for them to have the lifestyle that they want and choose.
As an atheist, I would have said that. I want to live in the truth, not in some useful delusion. And that's where I think I am today. I'm living in the truth of this, not because I want it to be true, but because it's true even when I don't want it to be true.
In about 5 minutes, we're going to play Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. We'll play those four soundbites for you, and then your vote determines which is Issues Etc. Soundbite of the Week. Pastor Matt Harrison is our guest for just a few more minutes before Soundbite of the Week. We're talking about issues facing worldwide Lutheranism. Matt, one of the features that has marked your first term as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod are those social moral issues that you've been called upon to address in the public square. You signed a document defending natural marriage just recently with other church leaders. You've spoken publicly, even in official hearings, on the HHS mandate and religious freedom. What are your thoughts on the recent Supreme Court decision that has been, I deem it, hostile to the definition of natural marriage?
Yeah, it's an absolute travesty. I mean, it's a pathetic travesty. That and it shows that, unlike the founding of our country, where at least natural law was believed to be consistent, that any idea of natural law has been given up. And so, simply, I mean, society is simply the result of an evolutionary process which has produced certain mores, which are set in place as laws from time to time and can happily be changed. Even fundamental laws like being male and female and the relationship between the sexes, etc. Now, I've been criticized a lot by people who think, well, the church shouldn't be involved in this, and what are you doing? You're trying to save the culture. Well, no, I don't believe it's the church's job to save the culture, and the church will never do that. Church should always be and will always be at odds with the culture. What I'm most concerned in the most recent round, and with all of this, but in most recent round, is the fact that now with homosexuality becoming a protected class, that just like the civil rights movement, and I believe wrongly so, just like with in the case of race, now homosexuality being a protected class, I believe race should be a protected class, but with homosexuality being a protected class, now those of us who simply out of conscience bound to the Word of God cannot alter our views, we are going to be driven out of every place where we act and carry our views into the public, that is, wherever we act on the free exercise clause of the U.S. Constitution. And that's what we're facing. And that's what is happening now and what will continue to be happening. It's our lot, and that is the Lord's will, and it's our lot to speak the gospel in the midst of that chaos.
Well, Matt, congratulations on your reelection as president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You have a very unenviable task, at least from my perspective, of trying to herd the cats coming up at the LCMS convention, so Godspeed on that as well. Pastor Matt Harrison is president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Matt, thank you so much, and Godspeed.
Hey, it's always good to be with you. We're going to have a great convention. It's going to be a joy. There'll be some issues, there always are. It's going to be a great joy, and what an occasion to see so many friends across the country and to rejoice in so much good stuff going on. It's a blessing.